Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And then the third verse is Romans 10 and the verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm sure you've already noticed that the linking word in all of those verses is the word saved. And that's going to be the theme of our message in the main tonight, on God's salvation, particularly this word saved, looking at these three verses of Holy Word. We're going to just unite our hearts together in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we seek to look at his word even now. Heavenly Father, we come before thee. Let us know the need of every heart bowed in thy presence. And we thank you that thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces even into our very heart, where no man's voice can ever reach. And Lord, we look to thee that thy word would have free course in our gathering tonight, whatever the need of every heart bowed in thy presence should be. Lord, we humbly ask that thou would be pleased to meet that particular need. Close out the things of the world from our minds, the things of tomorrow, which have their own importance but don't concern us tonight. Lord, defeat the powers of darkness, shelter this meeting neath the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to focus on eternal things and draw us out after thyself. Grant us the help of thy blessed Holy Spirit. Minister to need of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of the Revelation, which we were looking at a few moments ago, we discover a great many wonderful facts and truths. A lot of people look at the book of Revelation and they try to find out what's going to happen at the end time. And of course, many people miss the real point of the book of the Revelation because it's a revelation about the Lord Jesus Christ in particular. But the book of Revelation, in the verses that we've shared together, tells us many wonderful facts and truths about heaven. About heaven. We read together that in heaven there will be no sin. In heaven there will be no sun. A lot of people at the present time are jetting here and jetting there because of the jet stream, because there's no sun on this particular part of the world. Everybody wants the sun. Well, in heaven, there won't be any sun at all as we now know it. There'll be no moon. There'll be no night. The Word of God says there'll be no candle. There'll be no lights like we have here. There won't be such a thing. There'll be no tears. I wonder, have you shed tears? Tears of sorrow. Tears of grief, tears of regret, tears of heartache, tears of concern, tears because of loss, tears because of joy. Well, there'll be no tears in heaven. And praise God, there'll be no more death. The Word of God makes it very clear, there'll be no more death. Revelation 21 and the verse 4 brings that out to us. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. What a place heaven is going to be. There's not one of us here, but we've been subject to, we've participated in these things and we've felt the effects of them because we live in a fallen world. We've laid to rest those whom we know and love in this life. And we've known sorrow, crying, and we've known pain of heart. And God's word tells us that these things will be no more. There'll be no more death, no more destruction. For the Bible says the former things are passed away. The things that you and I accept as normal, as inevitable in our lives, they'll be gone. They'll be the former things. This old world as you and I now know it, Garvatown as you now see it, Ballymoneytown as you now know it, it's going to pass away. Men and women in these towns, men and women here tonight, we need to realize these things. This world will not go on as it is forever. These things will pass away. The old earth will be gone. And what did God say then to his servant John? He said that, I make all things new. I make all things new. This earth is currently something like, 7/8 of it is underwater. The Bible says there's going to be no more sea. It's going to be a totally new experience for every one of us. There's going to be uninterrupted fellowship with God. And that's something that we sometimes lament here in this life. You know, as believers, sometimes God draws very near to us. And therefore, that promise that God has given to us, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to thee, indicates that there's times in our lives when we sense God's presence close. And then there are other times when, well, we know God's still there, but it seems he's a bit further away. We lose the sense of his presence. In heaven, that will not be the case. These things will take place. Of that there is no doubt. For God said in verse 5 to his servant, he said unto me, write. Write. Aren't you glad you've got a Bible? Aren't you glad that God's servant was obedient to the word of God? When God said, write, he got the pen, or whatever he had. Maybe it wasn't a barrow, but he wrote it down. For you, your benefit, and for mine. And he said, write, because listen, these words are true and faithful. True and faithful. And then God said something more. Not only did he say to his servant to write about heaven and tell us about heaven and all the wonderful things that lie before us. He says, yes, they're true. But then God said something even more amazing than the fact it's true. And we believe it's true because it's in the Bible. But God said then, listen, it is done. It's done. It's as good as done. You know, when this old world comes to an end, God's not, and I say this reverently, he's not scratching his head, wondering what he's going to do or how he's going to do it. Heaven will be as God has said. And in God's mind, the eternal mind of God, it's already done. We're creatures of time. We just can't understand that. And the Lord tries to impress that upon our minds because as eternal God, he says, listen, I'm the beginning. I'm the beginning and I'm the ending. So I know the end from the beginning. Both ways round. We don't, but we have the word of God. God has revealed himself and his perfect will concerning these things to us in what we need to know. He sees and knows the end from the beginning, and that's why he gives us this great description of heaven for our encouragement and to encourage us to continue on in the things of God. You know, there are many facts about heaven. Well, we could stay here all night. I was reading quite a few commentators about heaven, about the city of the New Jerusalem. The walls are 216 feet thick. There were no drafts in heaven. Not a one. 216 feet thick are the walls of heaven. 6,000 miles are the length of the walls of the New Jerusalem. Some commentators believe that the walls, which are made of jasper, which is diamond, they go round, and there are 12 gates. We refer to them often in our hymn books as the pearly gates. The Word of God refers to them as gates of pearl. And some commentators believe they're as much as 1,400 miles high. I wonder what your conception is of the pearly gates. Is a wee door like that one there? No, God thinks on a bigger scale. Open your mind. One man said that perhaps God does such things on a grand scale, not just because he's able, but to remind you and to remind a sinner like me of the enormity of what Jesus Christ has done in order that we could go through those gates. It wasn't a small thing that he did. It was a big thing that Jesus Christ did, because, listen, he left heaven's glories. These things that we speak of, Christ Jesus left such a place. And he came down to this world. And if we should happen to forget what this world is like, lift a daily paper someday and you'll soon remember. Or turn on your TV. It's a sinful place. Look into our own hearts. We don't have to go too far, sure we don't. We live in a sinful and a fallen world. Yes, God's heaven is a wonderful place. And his presence will fill the entire place. That's what's going to make heaven, heaven. The unbroken fellowship that we have with God. And we could say many other things the Bible has revealed to us in this passage, but time doesn't permit us to do that tonight. But the most amazing thing about heaven, certainly one of them, if not the most amazing thing about heaven, is simply this. It's the verse 24 of Revelation 21. It tells me about who will be there. As we would say today, it's hard to get your head around it, isn't it? Look at what it says. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Saved people will be in heaven. In other words, people who should have been in hell. That's what they deserved. Sinners. Lawbreakers. People who were deserving of God's wrath and God's righteous judgment, but redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, they are the people who are going to be in heaven. There's something more. This is something we need to really grasp. These are the only people who are going to be in God's heaven. The only people in heaven are the saved. We need to make no mistake about that. There are people that we love in our families. There are people that we love and we rub shoulders with them in our work. We're born in the same land. We enjoy the same blessings from the hand of God. But only saved people will be in heaven. And it's not just going to be saved Protestant people or saved free Presbyterian people. The Word of God says the nations of them which are saved, people from every tribe and tongue and nation that you know about, and even the ones we don't know about. Our God's a mighty God. Sometimes as believers we can become discouraged in this land that has known so much of the blessing of God. But God's doing things on a mighty scale. He's reaching a people here and there and yonder and bringing in his own redeemed people. Aren't you glad you're one of them? Aren't you? Aren't you glad that you can say tonight, by the grace of God, I'm one of those who are included. I'm only a little speck of dust and not very important. A lot of people don't even know my name. but I'm one of those amongst the nations. That's amazing. The God should think about you, and the God of heaven and earth, the creator and sustainer of all things, should think about you and me. Only those who are saved will be in heaven. The ungodly, we must say this, this is hard to say, but it's so true. The ungodly will not be there. I don't know everyone here tonight. Perhaps you are not saved. You live an ungodly life. God is not in all your thoughts. If you're not saved, you aren't going to be there. That's not what I say. That's what God's word says. Verse 27 of Revelation 21. Listen to it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination or a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Only those cleansed from their sin, washed in the blood of the Lamb, will be there. One question. Are you saved? That is the question, isn't it? Are you saved? For a small moment, don't worry about the person beside you, and don't think about the person in front of you or behind you. Ask yourself before God, are you saved? If you are, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heaven will be your home. God has said so. God said it's done. We're just living out the life that God's pleased and His mercy to give us, but it's true to say, saved by the grace of God, you are as sure of heaven as if you're already there. Yes, will you be there? Are you saved by the grace of God? Do you have what preachers say and talk about? Saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read it earlier that in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without the word of God, without hearing it, you cannot have real saving faith. That's not what the free church says, that's what the Bible says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Men and women today need to listen to the word of God. They don't want to hear it, so therefore they don't have faith. They might have faith of a sort, but what's it in? Faith in the world's banking system? Foolish, isn't it? We've all learned that lesson in recent times. In the book of Romans, the people there were putting their faith in their own striving to work out their own righteousness, good works. How foolish. What does God's word say about this faith? Well, we read together in the book of Romans some verses. In Romans 10 and verse 14 and 15, the word how appears five times. Five times you'll find the word how in Romans 10, 14 and 15. How shall they call on him? How shall they believe in him? How shall they hear? How shall they preach? And how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Five times you find the word how. Five, as you know in the scripture, is the number of grace. And that is how you and I are saved. We're saved by the grace of God. No other way. There's no other way to be saved but by the grace of God. So we said, who will be in heaven? The saved. I trust you're saved. It's interesting to note that in that verse in Revelation 21, verse 24, speaking of the nations of those who are saved being in heaven, there's no mention, you know, of a church label or a position that someone might hold or the place you might hold in society or any personal wealth that you might possess. There's no mention of your good name, which is important in this life as far as it goes, but when it comes to eternal things, your good name means nothing in order to get you into heaven. Your reputation. No, the multitudes in God's heaven are saved. I ask you one final time, are you saved? I trust you are. If you're not, well, our desire is that which the Apostle Paul mentioned in Romans 10 and verse 1. We read it together. Our desire is that you might be saved. Ask yourself for a moment, why are there buildings like this across this province? Is it to entertain people? I trust not. These meetings, why are they convened? Why do men of God plan and pray and organize meetings week in, week out? Why are gospel preachers invited to come to places like this, up and down this land of Ulster, and even here tonight in Garva, that you might be saved? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, that's the desire of your friends who do know the Lord. It's the desire of those who pray for you that you might be saved. They may have other plans for you and wishes for you, but when it comes to God's heaven, their main desire for you, dear sinner friend, is simply this, that you might be saved. Not that you might be successful in education. Not that you might become a millionaire. Not that you might become the most famous person that Northern Ireland ever witnessed. That's not their desire. But like the Apostle Paul, their true desire, their heart's desire for you is your salvation. Listen, that you might be saved. Yes, you. Even though you have no time for God or have given no thought to God, their desire, their prayer to God is that you might be saved. There are people praying for you tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you are deeply burdened about someone who is not saved. You're not alone. The Apostle Paul carried such a burden. And he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God. Thank God we can take our burdens to the Lord, can't we? Are you burdened here tonight about your family? Maybe some of them saved by the grace of God. And some of them so far away from God that you nearly would give up hope. My dear friend, if that's your heart's desire and prayer, I encourage you to bring it to God. For he's the God of salvation. And bring it to God, praying that they might be saved. There's no point bringing that desire anywhere else. There's limited comfort in telling your friends. They can help you a little. But, oh dear believer, bring that desire to God. Pray. Do not give up. That's what the devil wants you to do. Write them off. Let them go to hell. God's a God of mercy. God has given you and I the privilege of prayer. and we can pray for those who are not saved. May God make this church a praying church. Some of my dear brethren today have indicated that they'd love to see more people in here. There's only one way that any of us will ever see more people in any church, and that is through prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. I bring you to my final thought. It's that last verse that we read just before we started to speak. And it's Romans 10 and 13. It's very simply the way to be saved. The way to be saved. You know, it's so simple that people miss it. It's so clear that people trip and fall and don't grasp it. I love the way it opens. We sang about it earlier. For whosoever, does that include you? Whosoever means me better than my name. If God was just saying, well, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, you might think he just didn't get your name right, or he missed the pronunciation a wee bit. No. Whosoever. What does it mean in simple terms? Anyone. Anyone here tonight who's not saved, God says, listen, you, anyone, whosoever. There's no excuse. This is solemn. There is no excuse at all. If you miss God's salvation, you can't say, God never called me. Listen, friend, God's our witness tonight. God's message to you tonight in your sin is simply this: whosoever. That includes you. Whosoever. What have you to do? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the risen Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord, you know. He is. We used to sing a chorus, He is Lord. He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. He has conquered sin and death and hell, all those things that aren't going to be in heaven. Jesus Christ has conquered them totally. He lives in the power of an endless life. He has all power. He has power to save your soul. And your name is included in that whosoever. That's the gospel invitation. It's also a command. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he commenced his earthly ministry, he said, repent, turn from your sin, and believe the gospel. So it's a twofold thing. It's an invitation where no excuse is valid. It's a command so clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not the God of your imagination, as we said this morning, not the God that you think, well, that sort of God would suit me, I could live with that. No, the God of truth. The God of holiness, the God of eternity, the God of heaven, of hell, the God of all things, whosoever. If any man or woman that sits in a gospel meeting anywhere in Ulster tonight ends up lost, they can never blame God. Now, God is not willing that you should perish. And that's why God makes it so wide and so clear. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, what's his promise? What's his promise? If you do that, listen, The word of Christ is simple and true. Shall be saved. Like that, in a moment of time. No going home to change your clothes. No trying to reform your life. No. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Call on his name, whoever you are. You say, well, I've lived 20, 40, 50, 70, 80 years and I haven't given God time. God still says to you in mercy, listen, whosoever. If you, even with despite all that, despite your rejection of me, call on my name. Promises, you shall be saved. How can God do such a thing? What is the gospel? When you're a Bible student, when you're a Christian even, seeking to walk with God, people ask you many questions. What's the gospel that you preach? How can you say that Christ can save? My closing thought, I bring you from Isaiah's prophecy. And Isaiah asked a question in the 53rd chapter. He said simply this. He asked the question, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? We could ask the same question from this pulpit. Who believes this message? Who believes it? What was the report that Isaiah spoke of? It was nothing less than the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel. You say, what's that? Tell me it. As the hymn says, tell me the story simply, that I may just grasp it. What is it? Jesus Christ took your place, and he died for you. Look at Isaiah 53. I'm going to close with verse 5. I leave the words of Scripture with you. This is the gospel, dear friend, if you're out of Christ. Or if you've grown cold, listen, this should warm your heart. Isaiah 53, verse 5 reads, he was wounded or tormented for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If you're saved, you can say amen. You're healed. Spiritually, you're healed. God looks on you as if you'd never sinned. He says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I was visiting a friend the other day. I was telling Shirley this. A man, he's a cousin of mine, actually, a first cousin. He didn't have the gospel privileges that I've been privileged to have in his younger days. He's a few years older than myself. But a few years ago, the Lord, in great mercy, saved both himself and his dear wife. They were lovely people even before God saved them. Very open. But the gospel has changed them even further. And that man displays the grace of God in a marvelous way. He hasn't great health. He has MS. I do my best to go and see him. And very often I go to cheer him up, and he actually cheers me up. It's the other way around. He's a trophy of grace. But he said a wonderful thing and a lovely thing in passing just before I left his presence the other day. The MS is wrecking his body. His organs won't function. He can't do the things that you can do. But he's saved. He's saved. He's going to heaven. And he said, tell Shirley, he says, when you go home, this message. He says, it's for you. But he says, tell it to Shirley when you go home. So I did. I'm going to tell it to you all as well. He says, tell Shirley, I'm not cured, but I'm healed. Tell her I'm not cured, but I'm healed. I wonder, spiritually speaking tonight, are you healed? It's a wonderful blessing to have good health, but it is a blessing. It's not something we're guaranteed. And he could honestly say, God hasn't been seen fit in his wisdom and in his power and his grace to heal me, so therefore I'm not cured of MS. But it's a burning and bright testimony. He says, thank God I'm healed. Are you healed? I trust God and pray in God's name that you would heed the gospel message. This is a tremendous privilege that our nation doesn't fully appreciate. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. We're going to sing a hymn in closing.